Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. I'm going to do something that I think I would, if I was sitting in the congregation, hate. And I would dread at the thought of it. And it's congregation participation. So, I need you. I'm going to hand some sheets out and some pencils. And I want you to get into groups of four or five. And we're going to have a little quiz. Okay? So I'm going to hand the sheets out. So for those listening on the recording, if you are, we're having a quiz. So as you can see on your sheets, they are all famous duos. So tonight we're talking about Barnabas. So you think of Paul and Barnabas, and you sometimes forget the other part. So for those listening at home, we have Bonnie and Batman and Mulder and Bert and Butch Cassidy and Itchy and Thelma and Chip and Jack and Tristan and Okay, pencils down. So I'll just disappoint you before you get too excited. There is no prize. So before we go that far. So the first one, can anyone give me an answer? Okay. Second one. Third one. Okay. Fourth one. And Ernie, yeah? Bert and Ernie? Sesame Street. I gave you a mix of generational answers just to Butch Cassidy and there we go, Itchy and Thelma and Chip and oh, this is an interesting one. I went with my generation, which is Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, which my parents will remember me watching avidly, I'm sure. But the Chip and Ben is an interesting duo that we Jack and Tristan and fantastic. Is all day. I was getting a little bit above myself with this one, so I thought it'd be nice to get you guys to get your brains going and get a bit of interaction. So I thought we'd start with that. And the whole thing is, obviously, we're talking about Barnabas. And when I first came to this, the first thing I thought of was Paul. Paul and Barnabas. And I was praying with Russell earlier, and I said, actually, do you know what? I've actually learned something, which I love when I'm coming to preach. I love the fact that I get to study God's word and spend time learning and growing and challenging my viewpoint that I had. So, who was Barnabas? So, Barnabas is described as an early apostle, and he's found right at the start in the book of Acts. So he's in Acts 4, but he's actually found initially as Joseph. And in this little passage, it's described Joseph as he is then. He sells a field that he owned, and he gives the money straight to the disciples and the apostles at that time. Puts it at the feet, no questions asked, just puts it down. And they rename him for this Barnabas, which literally means son of encouragement, hence our whole theme on encouragement, and hence where the talk will be going tonight. He was, as I said, a partner of Paul. And we do see later on them split. But we really pick up, Barnabas sort of really picks up where he almost endorses Paul. He really, after Paul has that magic conversion, he's the one who says, do you know what? This guy is truthful. He's honest. He's found God. Let's use him. And he really endorses him to the disciples. And then we see him again. In this, after he's had a few journeys with Paul, this thing called the Council of Jerusalem. And that's quite a big phrase to me that I sort of thought, what is that? But Council of Jerusalem is where a lot of the apostles got together, and there's this, a few decisions that were made, and I'll talk about one of them later on, where Barnabas and Paul were really key in that, and how Barnabas really encouraged a certain group of people. So, I didn't want to spend too much talking about who Barnabas was and that, but encourager. So, as I said before, he is called the son of encouragement. And this passage from Acts 4, which I talked about, is a real example to us. It brings me sort of to my first point, which is he was an encourager of the poor. So in Acts 4, 36 to 37, you can see it clearly. It just goes, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. He's a real encourager. He's not going, I want this money to go to a particular group. I want this money to go to here. Do you know what? He's encouraging people who need it. He's giving it, not asking the questions, just as Jesus would do. Jesus didn't come along with a lot of questions. He came here to encourage us, to encourage everyone. But particularly, we see Barnabas doing this. He gave what he had freely, just like Jesus did. And he had this really true understanding of what Jesus came to do. Not that Jesus came to pick and choose, but that he came for all. Barnabas really was excited to do this and just gave it. And it's noticeable in Acts 2. It talks about other people bringing everything together in the Christian faith. Early on in Acts, in the early church, bringing, selling, giving money and pooling it to help others. Great example of this from our key character tonight. The second thought is he was encourager to all. So we sort of used the word Gentiles. Ian used it this morning as well, which basically means non-Jew. And that's us. We are all Gentiles sitting here. Barnabas would have been an encourager to us. And the main part where we really see this come out is in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15. So right at the start, the story goes that certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So, Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. So right then, we see them arguing immediately, saying, no, Jesus didn't come for you to follow this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule. Jesus came to save us no matter what. We can never live up to the glory of God, but Jesus came to bridge that gap for us. And later on, just a few verses down, you see they've gone off and they've gone to see the elders and the apostles in Jerusalem. And the passage just goes, the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in the same way as they also are. All the people kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. Up until this moment, Paul and Barnabas have been on a few journeys, so they're going to have gathered these exciting stories where they've been preaching to the Gentiles. People who've never heard the gospel before. People who've never heard about Jesus. And they get to Antioch, and there's this whole challenge. They want to place a burden and say, you can't can't become a Christian if you've done that. If that was true for all of us, we'd be in a lot of problems, I think, right now. I know, speaking to me, if there were a lot of rules placed upon me and I couldn't be a Christian if I didn't do this and this and this and this, be a lot of problems, I think, for me. But that isn't the case. God comes freely to us. He just asks that we bring ourselves to him. And Barnabas came to encourage all of us to do that, to encourage us all. He didn't pick and choose. And just as we heard before, even through all these journeys, his mind hasn't changed. Even after he sold that field and he's moved on a bit, you see that same openness, that same encouragement for all. And I think that's a real, one of those first bits of challenge to us. I know in my heart, I cannot say I'm always encouraging to everyone. My brain goes, I don't want to encourage that person sometimes. Sometimes things are harder when people challenge us. But we should be encouraging to all, not just to those that are easy. And my third was encourager of those who have been discouraged or struggled. So I really struggled with my words, thinking about what I wanted to title this third point. And so I'm still not sure. I'm quite happy with it. But I talked earlier about Paul and Barnabas, and Paul having this magnificent conversion on the road. And he comes and he sees God. And he eventually goes to the disciples and says, look, I've had this conversion. But because of Paul's past, where he ridiculed the Christian faith, he persecuted Christians, they go, how can we be believing you? How can we see that you are truthful? And Barnabas, obviously, is so well known to the apostles and is a man of high standing with them that he comes along and endorses Paul. And if he hadn't have done that, would all the journeys of Paul happened? Would everything else have happened? That one little encouragement, that one little endorsement could have easily changed everything if it hadn't happened. And we can say that about lots of decisions. But it really is a challenge with us that if we can be like Barnabas and encourage all, just think about what little things could happen. You never know when you're going to plant a seed and something's going to happen down the line. I don't think Barnabas would have sat there and thought, do you know what? I know he's going to do this, this, this. He didn't do it because of that. He did it because he knew it was right to encourage him, no matter what. But later, we do see them have a little falling out. And Paul and Barnabas have done quite a lot of journeys together, so you can imagine they're probably quite close. They've got to know each other pretty well. And on one of these journeys, Mark is with them, but then deserts them and goes back to Jerusalem. And we get to Acts 15, 36 to 41. And it states that after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. So as I said earlier, Mark had already deserted them. So you can see Paul's little reticence in there. Paul's thinking, I don't want to take him. What if he deserts us again? What if this happens all over again? I want to take someone who's been with me through thick and thin, who I can trust in. But we see later that John/Mark becomes a great teacher, becomes a great encourager to all again, becomes someone who changes things again, very much like we see right with Paul. And Barnabas takes him again, gives him that second chance, encourages him and says, come on, let's do this again. Let's go on this journey. And again, how do we know what would have happened with him? Had Barnabas not done that encouragement, had Barnabas not taken that chance and gone, I'll encourage him. Okay, just like Paul. And we can just see the trail that Barnabas, and it doesn't obviously note in the Bible how many people Barnabas has encouraged, but just from those two, I can imagine there must be He must have left so many people encouraged as he's gone through his journeys, encouraging them in difficult situations, encouraging them where we fail. And we can say as Christians, we fail. But God encourages us. So shouldn't we be passing that on? Shouldn't we be encouraging others? And later, we even see in one of Paul's letters that he comes back and says, do you know what? Support the work of Barnabas. Look at him. He's doing great work. And so even though they split on amicable terms. And that's because partly of who Barnabas is and of how he's come across. And Paul must recollect all the encouragement he's given to him, that no one else stood up for him. But Barnabas did and encouraged him right at that moment. So I've briefly just talked about three kind of strands, and I'm an application person. I need application. Otherwise, my brain takes a while to process things. So why should we encourage and how? So quickly, I'm going to do my little why. So firstly, we're called to as Christians. In Romans 15, it states, each of us should please our neighbours for their good to build them up. So we should be encouraging our neighbours. And to me, the word neighbour, we can take it literally. It means the person next to you, living next to you. Or it can be in your community, in your area. It can be anyone. It could be the person sitting next to you right now. We should be building each other up. And as Christians, I always love the phrase about how we sharpen knives. We sharpen each other up. And that if we don't do that, we're not building each other up. We go blunt. So we should be encouraging each other. And at the end of the day, Jesus hasn't called us to our faith alone. That's why we have the church. We're in fellowship with each other as Christians. And we want more people to hear about God. That is my real desire, for more and more people in the world to know who Jesus is and what they've done, what he's done for me. And that, to me, is the encouragement that we should be passing on. And earlier, on in Romans, we actually get this little passage in Romans 12:8. If your gift is to encourage, then encourage. Now, we could take it that my gift isn't to encourage. That's not my God-given gift. And others, we each have different gifts. But as Christians, I really believe we are all called to encourage. We're not there to just sit back and go, it's not my problem. We're there to encourage each other, to encourage those in our community, to encourage those around us. So, if we think about how. So, I've got five little applications. If you just take away one of them, I will be so happy. That would be my real prayer, that you guys would be encouraged by this, obviously, and then you would take away one action point to go and put into your lives this week. We as a house group, I am particularly enjoy doing this, and I'm sure people will call me a bit of a dictatorship occasionally in house group. I like application, as I said, and I think when we watch something and listen to something as a group, actually we need to live that out in our lives. So we think about sometimes, how are we going to do that? What's our challenge for this week? And we then need to come back and talk about it the next week. There's a bit of pressure. And I'd love us all here to come back and talk to one another about their things. I can see some scared smiles in the congregation. I like that. That's good. It is scary to do things. And for me, it's a challenge, and for everyone else. But if we don't live out our faith, it's dead, as far as I'm concerned. Faith without action, to me, is dead. So, first and foremost, we do need to interact with the world. It's easy as Christians to go into our little Christian bubble and go, I'm nice and safe. God wants us to be in different places. There's a great quote. I was watching a few YouTube videos thinking about this. And a guy called Francis Chan, who's a speaker in America, describes us Christians like manure. If you put us all in one pile, we stink. But do you know what? If you spread us about a bit, then things begin to grow. It helps to grow things. And that's why we're all called to different jobs. We're not all called to do ministry in the church. We're called to different jobs. When I took my job, I believe that God was saying to me, do you know what? I want you here because there's no Christians in your team. There's nothing else. Let's put you there. There's no one maybe else to share that good news. Our encouragement should be to all, not who's just comfortable when we come on a Sunday morning. My second thought is, look at what encourages us. How does it feel when someone encourages you? How did they do that? This is a really easy one for me. If someone encourages me by giving me a word or a scripture or something else, that's easy. I take that template and I do it for someone else. I love this whole pass it on motion. We should be passing everything on as Christians. To me, that's a really easy thought. Just look at our own lives and also the stories and just share them. Use that same method. Third one is thinking about practical help. And this could sort of take a few dimensions, as I've put up there: prayer, hospitality, financial, time. And I'm going to give a little bit of a story, which I threw in at the last minute thinking about it. So recently, me and Kirsty have been deliberating about one of my best friend, Matt, coming to live with us. So he wants to move out. He's been living with his parents for quite a while, and he's getting frustrated. Me and Kirsty both sat there and have been thinking probably for 2 months whether this was right for us, whether we could give up our space, our time together, and go, do you know what? Do it. But for me and Kirsty, it came down to a thing of encouraging Matt, wanting him to flourish, wanting him to move out, wanting him to do things. And that's just something we said yes. He still hasn't made a decision. But you know what? All that matters is we've encouraged him. Even if he comes back and says no, that's an encouragement to him. And you may say that's quite easy because it was my best friend. I'm sure that was quite a difficult decision for a long time. Practicalities in our house were a difficult thing. Nonetheless, it was an exciting time to go through. And even it can mean different things, though. We don't have to do that. We can offer to pick someone's kids up from school. We can offer to make a meal for them. That's one of the things I have to say in this church. We seem to be fantastic at sharing food. I know Hazel's made me many a meal so far. And when we moved house, we had a great meal from Hazel. And that's really an encouragement for me, who's the cook in the family. That's really an encouragement. Fourth one is encouraging someone with the gospel. If we really believe in the gospel and the story of Jesus, that should be by far the most encouraging thing we can ever say to anyone. And yes, it's challenging. Yes, people don't want to hear it. But if we believe in the power of the gospel for it to change lives, that should be the most encouraging and strongest thing we can ever talk about with someone. I really believe that the key to all this is just that story of Jesus, the gospel. It's so counterculture now in the world that someone would give their life. Someone wants to give up everything for me, wants to stay there for me, no matter what I've done. There's so many people that need to hear that and want to hear it. Maybe don't realize, but I think to me that's the most encouraging thing we can share. And my final one, I found this a really interesting idea. And there's Rachel in our house group does this a lot, and I find it very encouraging. I'm really sad she's not here because I wanted to sort of embarrass her a bit. But she's great at bringing notes. Rachel regularly brings us little notes with Bible verses on, prints them off, hands them to us. And there's still one sitting above my desk which talks about working earnestly or something. I can't remember it off the top of my head now. But every time I look up, I go, yeah, that's exactly the phrase I need. My job's been frustrating recently, and for me, that's what I need. But she seems to always hit the nail on the head every time she gives us a note. And to me, a little post-it note left somewhere for a colleague at work on their desk, for just a friend, just a little note posted through a door. If you haven't got the courage to go and speak to someone, it's a scary proposition, really easy thing to do. Just do that first. Take that first step. That will get a conversation going. Trust me. It's a really easy tool for us to use and could sometimes leave a really lasting impression on someone's life. So we talked loads about who Barnabas was a little bit and really what it's all about, which is encouragement. And I really want you guys to be encouraged tonight. So we're going to... I'm going to play a song in a minute, and I'm going to do that thing. I'd love everyone just to close their eyes. We do this in youth. I'm not going to make you stand up and put your arms out and make sure you're not touching each other or anything like that. But if you can just close your eyes, have a bit of space. I just want you to listen to the words. And you know what? God is here to encourage us. And if we're encouraged by God, then we need to share that with others. So I'm going to play it, and then after the song is finished, I will close in prayer.